So, you know, I'm still fascinated by that Hard Knocks episode last night, or two nights ago now. The New York Giants, the offseason Hard Knocks, which, again, far, far more interesting than I ever thought it would be. I'm enjoying it a hell of a lot more than I really thought I would. And a couple of takeaways still from it that I didn't mention last night. You know, the Saquon Barkley thing, I talked about how that phone call, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the end of the episode was a phone call between Joe Shane and Saquon Barkley. And my takeaway from the phone call was it just obviously felt like two guys who know it's not going to happen. It just felt like both Saquon and his, you know, what apparent, and I, again, I don't want to, this is just how it sounded to me. I can't tell you I know for sure. We sometimes speak in certainties or it comes off that way. I'm just telling you from the way it sounded to me, the disinterest from Saquon Barkley in that phone call and Joe Shane practically saying goodbye and just what we've seen, everything else in the first two episodes and just the tenor of the phone call, it felt like it was just two guys who know there's not going to be a deal between the sides and he's going elsewhere. That was the takeaway for me and Saquon Barkley specifically, who's been out there saying, want to be a Giant, want to be a Giant, want to be a Giant for the rest of my career. And I'm not saying that was never not true. I'm not saying at no point did he feel that way. I'm sure he did for a long time. I don't think he felt that way during that phone call. That's my takeaway. But I'm seeing a lot of different takeaways that I found interesting. One that I didn't think of at the time, and now I'm thinking of, it's such a bad phone call from Saquon Barkley's perspective because I do think it makes him sound disinterested, fair or unfair. It could have been the 10th time they've talked. It could have been the first time they've talked in forever. He just might have already talked to his agent and knew what was coming and felt, you know, like it was a waste of time phone call. I don't know. But you would think, I mean, without question, they had to notify him at some point that that was going to be on TV, on Home Box Office. Home Box Office! And so for him to sound that disinterested on the phone call makes me think, one, he wasn't told at the time of the phone call. And maybe he was told later, like, hey, remember that phone call we had? I'll replay it for you. I'll send you the video of it, probably. But it's going to be part of the show, if that's okay. I don't know if he has to sign off for that. I don't know how that all of that works. But my guess is if Saquon Barkley at the moment knew he was going to that was going to be televised, he might have like just had a little bit more pep in his step, but maybe not. Doesn't matter. He's already an Eagle. Doesn't matter. But a lot of people were like, oh, it's unfair. Saquon Barkley, you know, it feels like, how did they even put that on TV? Was he notified? Like, I didn't think it was so bad that it couldn't have aired or that made him look that bad. It just made it look obvious that he was willing and ready to move on. And he doesn't, again, he doesn't owe the Giants a damn thing. He doesn't owe the Giants a phone call back. In the NFL, get your money. They didn't want to give him the money he wanted to get. He got it from Philadelphia. God bless him. But that phone call has been a lot of talk and whether or not Saquon Barkley knew about it. And then I was listening to the afternoon show and they were calling it like cringeworthy and made and felt like Joe Shane looked bad in the phone call because he gave the typical, like, first of all, everybody does this. He gave the typical, how's your offseason going? You doing anything fun? Or whatever he said. You doing anything? Go anywhere? Do anything? Like, everybody says that. Everybody. I mean, let's be honest. Your doctor could call you with the results of a blood test. He'd be like, hey, so what's going on? Everything good? You had a good summer? Oh, by the way, you know, you got pink eye. I mean, everybody does that. But, I mean, apparently that's cringeworthy to start the conversation off that way. He should have went right to brass tacks. He should have went right to, look, you didn't want to take the money I offered you last year, so go see if you can find it elsewhere, but then call me back. Like, of course you have the pleasantries. It's part of life. I didn't think it was a cringeworthy phone call at all. And then saying goodbye to him, I think my takeaway was that Joe Shane figured, okay, this is it. And before it gets ugly and he gives me a number that I have to tell him, no, we're not going there, let me just say nice goodbyes now while we're still on good terms. Because if he does call me back and say, look, I got the contract I got from Philadelphia, and I have to tell him, no, that's okay, go to our biggest rival, I'm not paying you that, that conversation might get real awkward, and it will be a more difficult time to tell him how much we appreciate him. I think both of them saw the writing on the wall. Saquon Barkley barely wanted to answer the phone call, and Joe Shane felt like he better say goodbye now. That's what I took from that phone call. But some of the talking points around it, whether or not Saquon Barkley knew or whether or not it was a cringeworthy moment, I don't think it was cringeworthy at all. I think it was exactly what it was. See ya. Thanks a lot. I didn't draft you. I know you didn't draft me. That's how it goes. It's a business, and he got paid a lot of money, and I have no doubt he's going to have a game where he scores multiple touchdowns against the Giants this year on their way to a 45-3 victory. I would have said one if they could score one. And I doubt they're getting a safety, so I went three. But, I mean, and then obviously the other thing, and everybody's takeaway, is the Giants were legitimately trying to move up to get another quarterback. I mean, nobody thinks it's a smokescreen. Nobody thinks it was just the Giants doing due diligence. Clearly, with all the effort they put into those meetings, meeting every single quarterback, doing all the work they did, that I don't know if the story from Rich Eisen about buyer's remorse is the word I would use necessarily, but about Daniel Jones, but clearly the New York Giants, they walked in and they talked about it in the show about being nervous that if it were, you know, if it were the great Bill Belichick there, they wouldn't have had the nerve to go in to that room. But they clearly went over to New England to say, hey, don't do anything without talking to us. And to watch Brian Daboll and that room and give those meetings, which, again, another talking point seems to be, I'm seeing a lot of people killing Jaden Daniels for how he handled that board work. I am certainly no expert. All right, I've never been in a room like that. I couldn't draw up my favorite play. I mean, I could draw up my favorite Madden play from 10 years ago when I actually had time to play video games, but like, I can't draw up my favorite play and tell you exactly what I'm doing here and what the options are on this route. And so I'm not an expert. But I thought he handled himself very well. He knew, other than missing and mixing up the letters F and X in one of the, you know, regurgitating the lines back to him and the play call back to him, I thought he handled that fairly well. I thought he was, and then people were getting on him for the answer to the question when he said, I'll give you this look, this, that, and what do you think I want you to do here? And he says, throw a touchdown pass. I mean, okay, it's a bit cliched. It's a bit obviously dancing around the actual question, but I thought it was a clever enough answer. I don't know. Yeah, I'll throw a touchdown pass here. And he seemed to impress everybody else because soon after all those meetings, it became very clear he was going to be the pick with Washington at number two. So a couple of weird takeaways from it, but I just overall, I am so fascinated by this show, and it's got me so much more hyped. I have to admit, it's easy to get hyped for football season. Let's be honest. Football season is the greatest. We're already doing some work on our fantasy football teams. We're getting ready for football season. It's, you know, preseason games are a month away practically. You know, we're going to be very excited. For the Giants, I don't have a lot of optimism heading into this year. But I got to tell you, watching Joe Shane, watching this head coach, looking at his offensive acumen, and I'm actually pumped he's going to be calling plays. Call me crazy. I like Kafka. I'm not disappointed. You know, it's not like I don't think Kafka's done a good job. I'm not one of those fans. I have a couple of Giant fan buddies and football buddies who, you know, the play calling's always the problem. It's like analytics. Analytics in baseball, it's always the problem. The Yankees don't score enough runs. Analytics, they don't move the ball. They don't have productive outs. They don't care about it. It's all analytics. Analytics is every problem in baseball. And for every time in football, it's the play calling. It's always the play calling. It never fails. It never fails. That it's the reason they don't score, the reason that drive wasn't successful, was the play calling. And while I think Kafka's done a fine job play calling, I think he's done a really good job as offensive coordinator, and I don't need to tell him that or tell you that. You can learn it from the idea of how many head coaching interviews over the last 2 years someone who, let's be honest, most of us didn't know until he became the offensive coordinator of the Giants, is suddenly out there getting head coaching interviews left, right, you know, all over the league. So I think he's done a fine job. I think he's a good coach. And I wouldn't be disappointed necessarily if he were calling plays. But this is Dable's team. And he was brought here because he's this offensive genius. And you hear former players, and genius might be a strong word, but this offensive guru, this quarterback whisperer, he's an offensive guy. And while, yeah, sometimes that can cause problems and you want your coach to be the game manager and coach the team and not just the offense, it works just fine for Andy Reid. It works just fine for Sean McVay. It works just fine for a lot of coaches in this NFL. So for me, I love the idea that Dable is taking over the reins. I love the idea that after last year's BS and dealing with a defensive coordinator who's disgruntled, dealing with his underlings who are spreading rumors about him and feeding leaks to the media, after all the stuff about him being a forceful screamer and doing this and that, he's doubling down on it and saying, screw you. This is my team and I'm taking over the reins of the play calling. I think Kafka's done a great job, but this is my team. I want the coach to feel like it's his freaking team. And he was hired here to do just this. So do it. And watching him in those meetings, watching him go through the offense real quick, watching him, you know, pepper those quarterbacks with questions. I've been, you know, even watching him with Malik Nabers and the way he's dealing with those interviews and Adunze and dealing with the wide receivers. Just him in that room, his presence in the room. Because I got to tell you, can you imagine seeing, I would love to go see those interviews when Joe Judge was the coach. Because I don't know what Joe Judge would have said. Like, I just don't know what Joe Judge would have said. He might have been like, you know, do you think you could beat me in arm wrestling? Like, I don't know what Joe Judge would have done. But watching Brian Dable in there talk to Nabers, talk to Adunze, talk to these quarterbacks, go over all the different plays, just his presence. It felt like, and then even like watching Joe Shane sit next to him, Joe Shane clearly acquiesced the whole thing to him, and you could see the gravitas that he has in that room. I'm pumped for Brian Dable. I'm pumped for what he could do this year with this team. And again, I'm really hopeful, because as much as I get on Daniel Jones, and as much as I'm tired of having the year of Daniel Jones, which was the final quote of episode one of Hard Knocks, this is the sixth year of the year of Daniel Jones. I mean, it's gone on forever. I am hopeful that they can get something out of him, and I'm hopeful that he can be something, but if he's not, what's really going to bother me is that Brian Dable might leave as the Giants head coach. His tenure might end without ever getting his hands on his guy, his hand-picked quarterback, the guy he wanted to draft, the guy he wanted to develop, the guy he personally saw something in. Because right now, I have as much faith in him as I have with anybody in the organization, players included. And I'm going to be bummed if Brian Dable goes through this and loses with Daniel Jones and has to get fired and never has an opportunity to develop, draft, and build his guy. Because I feel like he's going to do it somewhere, and he's going to be successful. And instead, we're playing this, can Daniel Jones be the guy? And we got an owner who I respect, but we got an owner who is hung up on making it work with Daniel Jones. When they hired Brian Dable and Joe Shane, we've done everything to ruin this kid. I really hope he gets a chance. Now Saquon Barkley has to leave. I'll be sick to my stomach when Saquon Barkley leaves. We're holding on to players who have done nothing for them. We're sick to our stomach and focused on making sure the players who have done nothing but lose with the New York Giants stay New York Giants. Because they're good guys. Because they're quality individuals. And that does go a long way, no doubt. But this is the NFL, and you have to produce, and you have to win. And when you hire a coach who develops quarterbacks, and you stick him with Daniel Jones year six coming off a blown-out knee and a neck injury every other year, are you really utilizing and taking the best, you know, and are you utilizing and getting the most out of an offensive coach you brought here? when you hamstring him with a quarterback who I don't know if can be successful. It's frustrating.